Hearty welcome to each one of you here this morning. It's good to see you again. And my prayer is that whatever need is in your heart, that it be fulfilled through the Word of God. It was about a month ago, Pastor Murnus was here and he was speaking out of the book of Obadiah. And I already had prepared 3/4 of a message on Obadiah. And so we'll just play his CD and then we'll sit back and relax. But I've gone a different avenue than what he did. My focus this morning is on pride. What is pride? When you think of pride, it is above all, it's an attitude, but it never stops with an attitude. It never stops in the mind or in the heart of a person or people. In James 1, 14 and 15, it says, "But each one is tempted when he, by his own evil desire, is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." And we notice the progression here. And the attitude of pride is actually no different. Because once pride exists, then either you're going to have to deal with it, or it's going to show up in your life. And pride was the defining characteristic of the nation of Edom. When you think of pride, it stirs up rudeness or a disrespect or a rebellion toward God, and it brings shame and destruction according to Ezekiel 7. The pride of your heart, which Jeremiah speaks, is the conceited godlessness, the arrogance of those who think they can thrive without their Creator. So we can already see that pride is looked down upon from God and from many people. And that is also the law of the harvest that you find in Galatians chapter 5. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And that's how it worked in the nation of Edom. So Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. The vision of Obadiah. First of all, I want you to notice how Edom's pride was fleshed out or showed through. And then notice the 5 things that the Edomites did to Israel. In the result of being prideful and how it was revealed and how they lived that out. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that thy dwellest in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars? Thence I will bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If thy grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hid things sought out? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall they not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom? And understanding out of the mount of Esau, and thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob's shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. and thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou look or have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked down on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on the substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of his distress. May God bless the reading of his word. This morning I want to focus on verses 10 to 14. And for a minute I want to draw our attention to verse 3. When you think of the layout of the land, some of the mountain peaks of Edom, they reached over 6,000 feet above sea level. And Jerusalem was about 2,300 feet above sea level. So we can see how Edom thought or took for granted that they would be safe because of where they were located. And they were dwelling 3,700 feet higher than Jerusalem. So it would be difficult to attack Edom because of their location. But it was their curiosity and their pridefulness that brought them down. And the Lord, he sums up all their actions in verse 10 by saying, "For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever." Jacob was an honest, plain-hearted man, and whom the Lord loved. And this was Esau's brother, his own brother, his twin brother, and his only brother. And yet this is to be understood that there was not much violence between Esau and Jacob personally, but more so between the generations of these brothers. And we see that the violence against their brother Jacob or Israel, and that violence was an expression of their pride. When Esau discovered that he was deprived of his father's blessing, he was determined to go out and kill his brother. Because Esau had taken for granted that that blessing was his because he was a firstborn. And when that wasn't granted to him because of deceitfulness, there was a loud, bitter cry followed by hatred. In Genesis 27, verse 41, it says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And he said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" So how does pride show itself in this portion of Scripture and also in the lives that we live? 5 points I want to make this morning. First point is, pride shows itself when I can stand by and watch my brother stumble. Verse 11, it says, "In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day the strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them." King Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the Babylonians, brought his armies against the city of Jerusalem, and Judah stood alone. Where was Edom during this time? Did they rally around to help fight a common enemy? Of course not. They acted like the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan that we read in Luke chapter 10. That when they saw their brother in need, it says they refused to lend a hand. Now you might be thinking that these nations were enemies, but that was never God's intended desire. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 7, it says, "The Lord had told Israel, 'Thou shalt not abhor or hate an Edomite, for he is thy brother. When you think of that, this should have worked both ways. God's desire for the Israelites to treat Edom with brotherly love was just as much a desire as Edom to treat Israel in that same manner. But instead of attempting to befriend or help the people of Israel, to whom they were related by blood, they went over to the other side, to the side of the brutal enemy, which had invaded the land, and they did absolutely nothing to help out. Edom came as a spectator, standing at a distance with delight and pleasure when they should have, as brethren and neighbors, should have helped out with the enemies or against the enemy. So do you stand aloof, like it says, or on the other side when a brother stumbles? Do we come as spectators? That's what the people of Edom did. When enemies threatened Jerusalem, it says the people of Edom said, "This is no business of ours. We're not their keepers. Whatever happens, happens. And if they fall, it's only what serves them right. We're going to mind our own business." So how often does a brother or a sister in Christ stumble, and the rest of us, we stand off or we stand at a distance and we just watch? We choose not to get involved or come to their aid. Why not? Do we think that we're superior to them? Do we think we're better than what they are? Or are we afraid of what they will think of us when we do go and help? Galatians 6 verse 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're told to be like the Good Samaritan, who at his own personal cost, he went that extra mile to care for a man who was in great need. You and I, we have a responsibility as men and women, and a special responsibility to those in our immediate family and the family of God. God holds us accountable. Where you can help, you must help. Where you can encourage, you must encourage. And where you can defend, you must defend. Is that the kind of person you are? Or are you one of those that is standing at a distance and watching? And then you see a brother coming along and helping out with a situation, and that is when you go and help out. It is only then that you feel bad, because you didn't do nothing about it before. And you can only imagine how that person feels that has fallen and needs help, and what he thinks of us. You couldn't do it alone. Only when someone else came, that is when you helped out. So what makes you feel or think that you are much better than they, than the one that needs help? So we can clearly see what the sin of pride can do. When pride shows through in our lives, you and I, we can stand back and watch as our brother stumbles. My second point is that pride shows itself when I can look down on a fallen brother. First part of verse 12, it says, "You should not look down on your brother in the day of his misfortune." And the phrase "look down" carries the idea of showing a kind of interest, or a curiosity. And it means that while the Edomites were standing by during the defeat of Judah, they could have been at home in their own nation, but they chose instead to come out and watch. And you can see they progressed from standing by with an improper curiosity about their brother's tragedy. In other words, they were watching on how their neighbor was getting defeated instead of coming out and helping. So do you look down on your brothers when they fall? Some professing Christians, or maybe even some of us here this morning, are like the Edomites. So why is that? Is it so that we can look better than the next person, elevating ourselves higher than them? And many times we see ourselves rejoicing in the next person's trials or difficulties instead of coming alongside and helping them. Instead of helping a brother when he falls, we delight in digging out the details and spreading that news, feeling like we've done our duty and we do not hesitate to add an extra kick or two, if that's what you want to call it, to the man that is down, or even exaggerate or spice it up what we've seen to elevate ourselves. Obadiah, he warned against such wicked behavior. Philippians 2, 3 and 5, it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not look only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Pride shows itself in our lives when you and I look down on a fallen brother. My third point is that pride shows itself when I can rejoice in the defeat of a brother. Last part of verse 12, it says, "Nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress." As they watched Israel fall to the Babylonians, the Edomites, they were rejoicing over the trouble that had come to them. For centuries, God had given Israel the upper hand. Jacob prevailed and prospered. And when Israel marched up to the promised land and was denied passage time and time again, God made sure that he got them where he wanted them. And when previous enemies came along against them, they gained the victory. And now here they were, God's chosen people, falling to an enemy that they couldn't handle. And Edom thought it was a great thing. They thought this was the best thing ever. And for the Jews, this was a day of destruction and distress. But for the Edomites, it was a day of delight and rejoicing. And in their pride, Edom looked down on the Jews and they rejoiced over their misfortune. Do you rejoice when a brother falls? When you hear someone rejoicing over the trouble that another individual is having, you can be sure that you're listening to someone who is very, very proud. And pride is something that God hates. It is a shame that Christian people can talk about other Christians and even be happy that the other person has fallen or sinned or had a misfortune. There are people who are happy when a successful person fails or goes through difficulty. And somehow it makes them feel better about themselves. So why is that? Friends, it's a sign of pure jealousy and envy. Because many times we would like to have the success that they are having. Or you want what they have or what they are doing. Or it seems like everything is going their way. So when they fail, we seem to be glad about it. And how horrible it must seem in the eyes of God. And if we saw ourselves the way that God sees us, there wouldn't be any room for boasting or rejoicing when others fall. In Proverbs 24, 17 and 18, it says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." Fourth point this morning is, pride shows itself when I take advantage of a brother after they've been weakened by a fall. Verse 13, "You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster." It was bad enough for those people to do nothing to help their brothers and to stand and rejoice at the brother's distress or misery. But when they came to help the enemy, that was going way, way too far. Edom's violence grew against their brother. And not only did they join in with the enemy against Israel, but they actually moved in to steal and to ransack after the enemy had taken Israel away into captivity. So how could they even feel good about themselves after what they had done? They didn't fight Israel for the goods. They didn't help Babylon for part in the spoils. It says they only stood back. And it was like they stood back like a hungry pair of vultures coming in after a kill. Do we take advantage of a brother who falls? Do we pray or attack on them with works or behavior? Or move in and gather their spoils? Or when a brother's in a financial bind, do we offer to buy their possessions for a mere fraction of what it's worth? And then we stand back and like we've done them a favor. My friends, that is taking advantage of a brother that has fallen. Is that the kind of brother you and I are? Just when we thought we helped out, it was all to our benefit. A gain with a cheap bargain. My fifth point is pride shows itself when I help the enemy go after a fallen brother. Verse 14, it says, "You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble." So you can picture what has happened. As Edom had moved in to ransack the city, they encountered stragglers. Obviously men and women, maybe children, and their mothers, perhaps whole families who had fled the city to escape the destruction and certainly death or captivity. And if they could only take refuge in that rugged country, south of the Dead Sea, but on their way up, they meet these Edomite brothers who had absolutely no sympathy in their difficulty. And the Bible says that the Edomites, they stood at the forks in the road of the crossroads, ready to capture the fugitives who were trying to escape and then turn them over to the enemy to be imprisoned or slain. Did they care? Of course not. For they were the lowest sort of people, thriving on the defeat of others, even their own kinsmen. So do you stand in the way of brothers who are hurting? Are we as God's people guilty of this very thing? I suppose that if you and I were people like the Edomites, rude toward their friends or their relatives or people that they knew, and that they would do these things, I believe we would shun them. But all too often, it is us as believers in Jesus Christ who behave like the Edomites. We can behave in very hurtful ways. We say things that we shouldn't. We do things that we shouldn't do. And sometimes, perhaps more than often, we refuse to get involved when we should. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that has friends must show himself friendly." And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have such a friend in Jesus. When you and I had fallen to sin and death, Jesus didn't just stand by. He didn't look on with disrespect or with a lack of concern. When we were helpless and hopeless, Jesus didn't rejoice or boast over his own perfections, even though he was perfect. And he didn't move in and take advantage of us, nor did he turn us over to an enemy. He didn't do any of those things. Why? Because he loved us. And he chose to get involved and do something about it. And it was his love for us that drove him to the cross. And because he was lifted up, my friends, you and I can be lifted up too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this hour, we want to thank you for the power of your word. Father, we again can see what pride can do. And Lord, we just pray that if there's any pride in our hearts, that we would bring it before you. Father, in our sinful nature, it's easy to become envious. It's easy to become prideful. And Lord, we pray that closer walk that we have with you, the less and less pride and envy would be in our hearts. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to strengthen our relationship with you. Father, that we would put the pride and envy in our hearts, we would put them away. A focus on what you have for us. Father, we also want to thank you for the power of your word to overcome the pride that may be in our hearts. Father, we want to thank you for being here this morning. Lord, we just pray that whatever needs would have been in these people's hearts, that they would have been met. Father, we pray for those that are struggling, for those that are hurting. Lord, we just ask that you would draw near to them in a special way. Father, that you would heal, that you would comfort. Father, we think of Ron Dirksen and his family, Lord, with his wife passing away. Lord, we just pray that you would draw near to that family in a special way. Lord, that you would uphold them, that you would love them. And Lord, that you would just surround them. Father, we thank you that you're the God that we can come to at any time, and that you're there to listen. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Furthermore, if nothing else to present to you this morning, I want to thank you for coming, and my prayer that you'd be encouraged again. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may depart in the peace of the Lord.